Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brand. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich. Let's start the show.
Thank you for that introduction and welcome back to another episode of The Life of a Gentleman. I'm Richard, your host, and today we have an amazing show for you. A little different format this week, but I think you're still going to really enjoy it. We have two special guests that will be coming on. The first one is Matan from Foodie Trip. And if you're a foodie or if you love food, you're adventurous with food, or perhaps you want to and you just haven't really stepped out of your comfort zone when it comes to trying new cuisine, you're definitely going to want to listen to this interview with a company called Foodie Trip. You will love what they are doing. And secondly, Richard from Mizzen and Main is back. We had so much fun. He agreed to come back on. And I know a lot of you are trying to build your personal brand or you have a business and you really want to get that off the ground. The reason we're having Richard back on is because he is somebody that is a creative director for a budding company that is really booming and working with celebrities and influencers. And so we thought it'd be great if he came back on and let us know how we can really maximize our social media, our website, and really just making some great content to get eyeballs on our brand. So let's welcome Richard back from Mizzen and Main as well. And on that interview, I'm joined by Dennis Stiles. So we teamed up for this. And so it's a great discussion. I think you're really going to like it. Guys, if you're in the business and you're in the fashion, you're in the right place. And if you know somebody else who would love this podcast, tell them to tune in too. And get ready because a new episode is coming to you right now.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Guys, it's a special time of the week. Once again, we have a special guest, and today we're going to be talking about business. And a lot of us out here are aspiring entrepreneurs, so you're really going to love this interview. And also, if you love to travel, which I know a lot of you do, and if you love food, this is just a win-win situation. I'd like to welcome to the show Matan from Foodie Trip. Welcome.
Thanks, Richard. Really happy to be in the podcast today.
Yeah, glad you could join us. You know, I heard about Foodie Trip. One of your friends actually introduced this product to me, and I was like, wow, we got to hear more about this. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what Foodie Trip is and what we can expect from a service like this.
Sure, really happy to. So the idea behind Foodie Trip is actually a pretty universal value proposition. We started Foodie Trip with a very basic belief, and that's the best way for people to connect with a different culture is by breaking bread with somebody from that culture, right? So if you're traveling to a place like Shanghai, let's say, the best way for you to understand what day-to-day life is for a Shanghainese person is to have a beer with somebody from that town. It's something that really resonated with us. We believed it was a universal truth, and apparently a lot of other people did too, which is exactly why we set up Foodie Trip, which is a marketplace that connects travelers with these really, really super passionate local food guides for them to take it to places that they would otherwise have zero access to. So not just the best food and beverage places, but the most authentic, locally representative food and beverage venues that town has to offer, and all kind of wrapped up in a very customized and very kind of appealing package to the end traveler to really get the most authentic experience they can while eating and drinking and being merry with these, great locals.
Man, that sounds amazing. You know, I probably tried to do this on my own. When I travel, I like to find restaurants that are a little bit off the beaten path and kind of eat like a local. So what you're telling me is if I have my trip planned and I'm heading out to Los Angeles and I want to find some really great spots, all I have to do is jump on Foodie Trip and get connected?
Not only that. So first of all, to answer your question, Richard, absolutely. Yes, that's 100%. That's 100% correct. But we're taking it a step further, right? So, I mean, you can find stuff on Yelp, especially in North America. You can find stuff on Yelp. You can spend hours doing research before you travel. But there's still that missing human element connection piece to all of it, right? The main claim to fame here is not only finding the restaurants, but also connecting with locals while you're doing it. So you're actually physically meeting somebody who knows their stuff backwards and forward and will take you to places that a lot of times aren't even listed on Yelp. And it's especially true when we take a look at international markets. You know, there are so many cultural gaps that stop us as travelers from eating or drinking where locals do, right? If you don't speak Portuguese in Rio de Janeiro, chances are you're not going to where local Brazilians are eating at, right? There's the language gap, there's a culture, there's a lack of knowledge too in terms of, once I found this place, what do I actually order? How do I order it? What is this restaurant known for? When you're sitting down with a local, you get all of that stuff wrapped up in a package, and at the same time, you have this immense, very strong connection between yourself, other travelers, and the local guide who's kind of putting this entire thing together.
Man, that does sound amazing, the human element part of it. So you're actually spending a little time with the local, and they probably can give you a little history. They probably could even help you out with some other things you need to see as well.
Precisely. So these guys know their stuff. So a lot of them are also connected to the local chefs, and the chefs come out and give you, you know, the story of you know, this restaurant's been my family for four generations. We've been making X dish for 6 years. This is what we're known for. This is how it came about. So there's a lot of connections, not just from a traveler to guide perspective, but really an understanding of the neighborhood that you're in. For instance, from a historic perspective, from a culinary perspective. And it ranges, right? So we have everything from mezcal making tours outside of Mexico City, all the way to, you know, like speakeasy tours that start in London that start at like 12 at night and end at 4 o'clock in the morning. And these are places that, again, travelers would just not have access to. They have no knowledge of these places. And even if they do, there's a lot of cultural gaps that kind of keep them from enjoying them the right way.
Man, the more I hear about this, the more I'm starting to love the idea. And I just came back from a trip, and I wish I would have known about this. How do you get onto it? You know, since you said that, so how does it work? How do we get involved?
Sure. So we cater to two specific demographics, the first being travelers, but not just. Also locals that want to rediscover their city. A city like New York is a perfect example, right? So New York is huge in terms of its culinary offerings. It's also a very large geographic area, so a lot of locals look to discover boroughs that they're not necessarily familiar with. I myself, for instance, give a tour in Flushing, Queens, which is the fastest growing Chinatown outside in North America today. I'm fortunate enough to speak Mandarin. I spent 5 years in China. I was feeling nostalgic for some of the food that I was had over there, so I set up my own tour, and I'm now taking local New Yorkers to places in Queens they've never been to. So we have two demographics on the demand side. We cater mostly to travelers, but also locals that are looking to rediscover their local culinary scene. And they basically go on our website, www.foodieship.com. They search for a destination, they search for dates, and then they see, you know, a slew of different experiences associated with different neighborhoods within that destination, based on different themes with different guides. So that's on the demand side. On the supply side, we work with really, really passionate food guide. Most of them are mom and pop culinary tour operators that have been doing this for years. They know their stuff. They're very, very good at showcasing their knowledge to people. They're not as good at creating a digital footprint, right? So these are a lot of people who are very good at doing offline stuff, and we help them get that digital exposure to travelers who want to take their trip that otherwise they wouldn't have. So they also go on our website. They sign up to become guides. They go through a fairly robust quality assurance process. We make sure, one, that they have a clean, you know, criminal history. We do a very thorough background check as a first step. We then fact check everything that they send over. A lot of times we also send over secret shoppers, because again, we want to be 100% sure that the experience that they've listed is up to our standards. We stand behind every one of these experiences. Today we have over 500 experiences in 115 international cities. So it's quite an inventory that we've gathered over the last 2 years. And all of it is, we believe, super interesting and of the highest quality.
Man, you said 115 different locations internationally?
That's right. That's right. We're having a lot of fun with it.
That is amazing right there. We could pretty much go anywhere and find somebody that can take us on a foodie trip.
Absolutely.
Now, okay, now that we understand, go on the website, pick the experience. Now, do the prices range depending on the restaurant that they're taking you? Let's say you're in New York. Let's stick with that. Let's say I don't have a real big budget, so maybe it's going to be pizza and craft beer for me. But then the next time I go, you know, I've stepped up my game and I'm ready to experience fine dining. And, you know, it might cost me a couple $100. So there's different levels like that then?
Absolutely. So the pricing at the end of the day really is up to the guides. They list the pricing associated with each one of the foodie trips that they've listed. In a city like New York specifically, we do have, I believe now, over 50 unique experiences. And they range from Michelin star restaurants all the way to, like you say, Brooklyn-based pizza tours. Bicycle, craft beer, and pizza, I believe, is one of the tours that we have, and it's obviously a much lower cost basis than the Michelin star or the 4-hour speakeasy tour, for instance. So definitely different pricing levels for different themes, based again on what it is that the guide decided to price it out at.
That's perfect. I mean, there's something for everybody. I love it. Now, how did you come up with the idea? I mean, is this your baby that you kind of nurtured?
Sure. So this is actually my third company that I started. I lived, before I came to New York 5 years ago, I spent about 5 years in Shanghai setting up a couple of other businesses over there, also tech-based businesses. I came to Shanghai at the midst of the recession over here. I was an investment banker originally at HSBC. I was fairly miserable doing that. It was the height of the recession. I packed up two bags, moved over to Shanghai, and started a business with one of my close childhood friends. Sold that original business after 3 years. Was working, you know, 80, 100-hour weeks, needed a little bit of a break, and I had scheduled a three-month motorcycle tour, or not tour, journey that I put together from Ho Chi Minh City in South Vietnam all the way to Hanoi in the north of it. And the idea was for me to just relax, you know, just take a little bit of R&R and motorcycle my way through Vietnam. And you know, the only two things, I'm a fairly spontaneous traveler, so the only two things I planned out were, one, how do I get this motorcycle? And two, how do I eat, you know, the most authentic local food I can find? In my head, I wanted to drink snake wine at like 2 o'clock in the morning in the streets of Ho Chi Minh with locals. You know, that to me was a perfect kind of authentic vacation. And I found that Yelp doesn't exist outside of North America, basically. TripAdvisor was recommendations written by other travelers that I didn't really care about. But I did find a whole slew of different blogs that claimed to specialize in local Vietnamese food, and I spent hours looking at this stuff, right? And I had landed in Ho Chi Minh City. It's this incredibly beautifully chaotic is how I would describe it. You know, the ongoing traffic, millions of people, a lot of smoke, a lot of smells. It was a whole new and very, very exciting place to land in. I got on my motorcycle and I started going to some of the restaurants that I'd researched. And what I found is that I was surrounded by other American people who won the same blogs that I went on. You know, the food was okay, but it wasn't that local, authentic kind of experience that I was looking for. And on my third night there, I'll never forget this, Richard, I saw this sign that said nighttime motorcycle food tours. And I said to myself, you know, I like all three of these things. I better call up this number and see what happens. And I did. And at 8:30, this Vietnamese woman, showed up on a motorcycle outside of my hotel. She told me to jump up on the back of the bike. I said, okay. We were joined by 10 other travelers also on the back of bikes. And from 8:30 until something like, I think it was 4 a.m., they took us to the real deal. They took us to, you know, zones in the city or neighborhoods in the city that I didn't even hear of. And we were just having a blast, you know. We were eating streetside barbecue, and I got to, you know, drink snake wine with locals. Everything that I wanted was pretty much packaged up. But the biggest kind of takeaway from it was I now understand a little bit more about day-to-day life of a Ho Chi Minh City resident, and I'm also connecting with other travelers. I actually met these two Aussie travelers that I continue traveling with on my Vietnam journey after that, and that was kind of my aha moment. I really told myself that that's the only way I want to travel everywhere new I go to is by starting off, you know, just a culinary adventure with a local. So that was the birth of a foodie trip.
Man, that's a great story right there. I think a light bulb went off in your head halfway through that trip. You were like, oh yeah, I can bring this experience to other people. They're going to love it.
Completely. That's exactly right.
Yeah, now, what's been the most fun you've had in a city on foodie trip?
Oh, so I just came back. I was in Thailand for 2 weeks over Christmas, and the most fun thing. So I love Thai food. I love Thailand in general, but Thai food to me is just, it's incredible. It's fresh. The aromas going on are amazing. It's my kind of, I love it. And I actually had booked two different foodie trips, one in Bangkok and another one in Chiang Mai. And I got to go on foodie trip. On both of these foodie trips, one of them was a tuk-tuk tour through Bangkok, eating these incredible dishes. The most fun is them not knowing that I was actually the CEO and founder of the company, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in the tuk-tuk, and we're having this just like fantastic time. We're eating, we're joking, we're drinking. I also brought three of my friends along on this adventure, and it's amazing. You know, you kind of drinking your own champagne, right?
Exactly.
It was a really, really cool experience to go through. At the end of which, I told them, you know, hey guys, I am foodie trip, basically. You know, me and the rest of the team were foodie trip, and they were so happy. You know, just it was so cool to see their reaction once they realized who we were. Basically, it was cool.
It was like an episode of Undercover Boss. Man, I used to love that show.
Completely.
Oh, man. I could talk to you all day about this, but you know what? Before we go and wrap up the interview, just tell people one more time the website and also social media like Instagram and stuff like that. So I bet you guys have amazing pictures on there to really get our mouth watering.
Sure. Happy to. So the website is www.foodietrip.com. And our Instagram is foodie.trip. We do have a lot of really cool images and videos there. Also, I'd love to extend a discount code to your listeners. Let's make it gentlemen. They put that in, they'll get $10 off any foodie trip of their choice.
Oh, man, we really appreciate that. So the code, guys, gentlemen, $10 off any foodie trip. Hey, they're in 115 international cities. So if you're listening to us in the U.S., I'm sure they got you covered there as well. So let's get out there and be adventurous, guys. Matan, thank you so much for your time.
Now it's time for the Entrepreneur Spotlight. Real professionals, real business owners, and entrepreneurs drop in and drop jewels on us. Looking to learn from others that have done it? Ready to get your business really rolling? Sit back and buckle up. Our experts are ready to inspire. Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Life of a Gent interview section of the show. And once again, I'm joined with Dennis Stiles, and we have somebody coming back on the show that really can give us a lot of great information, because we know a lot of you listening are trying to start your own business, or you have a small brand and you need exposure, you need ideas. Let's get ideas and direction from somebody who's doing it on a large scale. Richard from Mizzen and Main is back with us, and this time he's not only talking about shirts, he's talking about his experience as a creative director. So Richard, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, guys. appreciate it.
Welcome back, Richard, man. It's always fun having you on Life of a Gentleman.
Yeah, it's so glad to be back on. Excited to talk a little bit about what I do as a creative director and kind of give some advice on how, your listeners, if they are starting their companies, running their companies, hiring people, what to look for, and some tips on just how to create content more easily.
You know what? That's a real challenge. I come across people, I work with people sometimes one-on-one that are trying to develop their business, and they're really pulling their hair out when it comes to content creation. So what are some of the top three tips maybe you could lay on us?
Absolutely. I'll give a little background for those who didn't get to hear me on the prior episode. So my name is Richard Ross, and I work for a men's clothing company called Mizzen and Main. And we make incredible dress shirts out of performance fabrics. They're going to be the most comfortable thing you're going to put on your body. Highly recommend checking it out. And we've gotten some good traction in the past few years. And a big part of that, I think, has been us sort of blitzing our content strategy. So if you guys hop onto our social media channels or on our website, you can kind of see that we've got, one, a ton of photos, and then two, we try and crank out as many videos as we can. And all of those things are produced in-house. So I head up a tremendous creative team at our office. Some of the most talented people that I've worked with, and we're able to get a lot done with very little. So I think a good thing to start. One tip I would say is as you're starting out, don't worry too much about the vision. Don't look at it as like this huge mountain or obstacle to overcome in creating content, because there's something that you have available on you all the time, which is your phone. And the phone is an amazing tool for creating content. So if you look back at our stuff, you'll see we have some like very high scale production stuff. And then most recently, we just put out sort of our brand story in a commercial form. JJ Watts in that video, we've got some of our customers and then our founder, Kevin. A great rundown of how our company got going. That whole video was filmed on two iPhone 10s. And, we wanted to kind of like scale it back, make it a little more mobile. We made the whole thing in a week and filmed, edited, put out, turned it around very fast. And it was all shot on an iPhone. So, we have bigger productions that we've done, but we took it to an iPhone, and you guys can do the same. It's a powerful camera, and there's other great cameras on other devices as well, but it makes it very easy to create some content.
Yeah, that's very important. Because one thing I noticed about your Instagram, it's not your typical Instagram that other dress shirts have, where they'll probably do a flat lay or maybe put a coffee next to a dress shirt. You guys get creative with it, which is it's really hard to do. So how have you mastered the aspect of social media as far as videos and skits and creativity?
So I have, my background is actually in theater. I went to college and studied theater and graduated with a theater performance degree from Baylor University down in Waco, Texas, Chicken Bears. So in that upbringing and the experience and teaching that I received, I learned a lot about character development and story. And not like in story is one of those words that just is almost like a non-word these days, like story and storytelling. People just sort of like throw it around quite a bit. But I think the interesting part is sort of like the character aspect of it. So I try and personify our audience into a character. And the way that I do that is I kind of like think of it as a friend of mine. And if I'm in a conversation with a friend or whatever, I'm going to know what that friend likes, what that friend is interested in. And if I'm going to like bring something up, I'm going to know, oh, okay, I'm going to bring this up because that guy or that girl is going to be interested in it. And so think about your audience that way. Think of them as like one friend and only try to appeal to that one friend. and it can help you think, oh, okay, you know, because, you know, there's different people that respond differently to different things, obviously. But think of it as like humor, for instance. If you're going to make a joke, you're not going to make a joke to your mom the same way that you're going to make a joke to, you know, one of your oldest friends. They're going to be really different.
Right.
So you got to know your audience. And if you really spend time with your audience, get to know what they like, it can sort of help provide a valuable framework around the content that you could create to know that it can be something valuable for your audience.
That makes a lot of sense, you know, and you're right. You hear storytelling so often, but sometimes we overthink it. And I like the fact that you have used just an iPhone to create this content. That eliminates some of the, you know, frustration that some people have expressed, feeling like it's going to cost them a ton of money to produce good content. But what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is think outside the box and try to do something different.
Absolutely. Think outside the box, do something different, and step away from trying to mimic what other people are doing. And by step away, I mean, it's like, get your eyeball off of what other people are doing. Because I found for myself that it can be very difficult for me to originate or to develop original thoughts if I'm constantly consuming what other people are making. It's always in my mind. And it's like, it doesn't have any breathing room to sort of grow into something, you know, that has its own form. Because it's so interesting. If you're like, you guys remember like the glory days of Instagram when it first came out and nobody cared and everyone was just like posting whatever they wanted, and like you got real personal insight and a huge variety to what everybody was doing. Then as more and more people got onto it, and like really talented photographers and all these other people started like developing styles that were really beautiful, everybody just started to mimic those styles. And then everything started to look exactly the same. So, you know, if you're constantly absorbing streams of information, your mind is going to start to think exactly along those lines of those streams of information. And so I'll try to hop in, get like a little bit of inspiration, see what's going on, see what's good, and then I'll hop out and I'll go and I'll make something. And I just try to not like, I try to like forget about it and blaze a new path. Because, you know, which we gravitate towards what's familiar. And if we're constantly getting ourselves familiar with things, then we're going to produce things that feel familiar.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think it's very important to be creative, especially on social media, because it's so crowded with so many brands, so many influencers, so many photographers. So see a brand like yourself, you know, be creative, is definitely very refreshing.
Yeah, man, it's fun. And I'd also say, like, it may seem obvious, but really challenge yourself to think very out of the box. So here's an example. And like, identify an opportunity and, like, take that opportunity to the extreme and think about it out of the box. So a coworker of mine ran into Chingy at a somewhere in Miami. Do you guys remember Chingy, the rapper?
yeah, I remember him.
Oh, yeah. So he ran into Chingy, and Chingy was like, hey, man, I want to work with y'all. I'd love to do something. And so Mike let me know that, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, we're working with Chingy.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to figure this out. And so we were trying to think of what to do. And, you know, we do a lot of stuff centered around, like, the office, like, working at an office and, you know, especially our office. And so we were like, what if we just made this epic blowout office Christmas party video? And so we talked to Chingy, we worked with him, and it was like, it definitely was a risk, and it took some convincing on my end to, you know, get this thing approved. But we pulled it together, and we did it in like an extremely short amount of time. You can look it up. It's called A Very Chingy Christmas. It's on our YouTube channel. And I mean, we just blitzed this thing and really pushed ourselves. To be honest, beyond our means. I mean, it kind of felt like we threw ourselves into the deep end. But it worked out. We pulled through, and it had a great reception. And it was something that wasn't obvious, you know? It wasn't obvious to how we could integrate Shingy into what we're doing, but we pulled it in a way that would make sense. And we co-wrote a song with Shingy. We recorded it in the whole video in about 7 hours and turned it around like really fast. So it's not many clothing companies out there are producing their own music videos. So think out of the box.
Yeah, no, you did with that one. Definitely have to look that up on the YouTube because that's one for the ages there. You know, you're a creative director, right? You mentioned you have a team. I'm just curious, though, because a lot of people are starting off and they're small. You know how entrepreneurs are. They're wearing all kinds of hats. And so what advice would you give to the small-time guy who doesn't have a team behind him? What are some low-budget things he could do that would make him stand out? And then also, how could he outsource to get a little bit of help?
Absolutely. When I graduated school, I went and worked for a clothing company in Rhode Island called Kyle James Patrick. Worked there for a bit. Then it was time to come back to Dallas because my girlfriend at the time, now wife, my hot wife, I should say. I went, came back, and I did photo and video work at this clothing company up there, and so I started freelancing. And I freelanced for about three and a half years. And I was a one-man band. So I had already kind of gotten some equipment, but the equipment that I had was adequate, but it wasn't outrageously amazing. So I would say start small. I really am not kidding when I'm talking about the phone thing. And the biggest thing you can do is just start doing it, because you're going to be bad. Like, if you've never made any content, if you've never talked to a camera, if you've never done any of that, it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's not going to feel very good, and it's not supposed to. It won't, and don't expect it. Expect something really, really bad the first time you turn on the camera, and that's not a negative thing. It's setting a real expectation. Because the second time you do it, it's going to be twice as good, you know? Because you're going to know what to expect. You're going to pick up on things that you're going to need to alter. And so the more you do it, the better it's going to become. And then one day, that uncomfortable feeling isn't even going to be, like, present. And then the work is just going to keep getting better and better. So, like, I've got a friend who, like, started a business, and he would, like, record videos of himself, you know, talking and things, and like the quality, everything about the videos was very like homegrown and like pretty rough, and it was like noticeably rough, but he was doing something. And then as time goes on, like the quality gets better, and then now you don't think that they're rough anymore. And huge props to him for just like continuing to do it, because you'll learn how to get better, and it'll get refined, and suddenly you'll have a product and an audience that you'll be proud of.
So that's how you do it. There you have it, folks. You're learning from an expert and somebody who has done it. So, Richard, we want to thank you once again for joining us on the show. Please, before you go, let us know how we can keep in touch with you and Mezzin in Maine and learn more about the shirts and see some of this awesome creation that you guys have coming up with, because it sounds like you guys are having a ton of fun.
Yeah, man, it's a wild ride. It's a blast. So our website is mezzininmaine.com, and if that's too hard to remember, our shirts are so wildly comfortable, you can find us at www.comfortable.af. I'm sure you know what that URL implies. And then on Instagram and all other social medias, we're Mezzin in Maine. And then my own personal Instagram is @RichardRoss. My stories are fire. Highly recommend checking it out. check out Mezzin in Maine. You can kind of, and watch our journey to see how we continue to improve. Because, you know, I remember my very first shoot with Mezzin in Maine. And it was good for the time. But I look at that first shoot, and I look at the work that we're doing today, and the improvement is huge. So don't give up, and just keep pushing forward and through the uncomfort to create something good.
Wow. One more thing, Richard. Are you actually featured in some of these videos and stories so we could actually see what you look like?
Yeah, so that Chingy video I mentioned, I'm rapping with Chingy. I'm in a couple videos. I'm in a couple videos with JJ Watt. We did like a kind of between two ferns style interview with him. you know, just like an awkward interview. So that's fun.
How about the Tebow one?
I don't think I'm in the Tebow one. We focused on our founder Kevin Lavelle and Tim and those. But yeah, I'm definitely peppered throughout the the videos there and the stories. So you can follow along, comment on our Instagram about my acting ability. You know, just to help me improve.
Sounds good, Richard. We definitely will. And everybody follow them on social media. And Richard, until the next time, take care, buddy.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Take care, Richard.
Hey guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. So glad you could come along and take this journey with us. You know, all of us are really trying to be the best we can. And today's show, I think, really will help us because we want to be well-rounded gentlemen. And let's send a special thank you to Matan from Foodie Trip because he really explained what a wonderful company they have. When you get to another city, you don't want the ordinary. You don't travel across the country to eat at Applebee's or Burger King. So definitely, let's step out of our comfort zone and really find some great cuisine. Foodie Trip can help us do that. Thanks for coming on. Also, a big thank you to Richard from Mizzen and Main. They have amazing shirts. You definitely have to try those. But also, hope you took notes because as a creative director and somebody who's doing big things, Richard had a lot of good information for us. All of us want to really take our social media to the next level. You know, we get a lot of DMs about that, Dennis and myself, and people want to know how to do it. If you listen to some of the things that Richard talked about, you'll definitely be able to take your social media to the next level. So hopefully you found that helpful. And if so, give us some feedback. You can get in touch with us at Gentleman's Podcast or get in touch with Dennis or myself, Dennis_Styles and at The Life of a Gent. And the reason we want to say that is because we love hearing from you guys. We want to get more interactive with the show as we move forward. And so if you have a show idea or if you have questions, we love answering those. I know a lot of people have reached out with style questions and business questions, so keep them coming. And guys, do not feel like you're burdening us at all. We want to interact with you. We want to make this a movement towards everybody living that gentleman's lifestyle. So thank you to you, the listener. And if you could, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It will really help us. We appreciate that sincerely. And as always, until next time, guys, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.